Welcome to the message podcast of Catalyst Baptist Church, a vibrant church with two campuses located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
Always a joy in my heart to share God's word, and I'm sure my fellow pastors do the same as well. As we continue to look at what it looks like, what does it mean to follow Jesus daily, every day, daily? And if there's any quick, short message that I want you to leave with today, it's this, that to stay hungry is to stay blessed. So repeat after me, to stay hungry is to stay blessed. Well, we'll continue with a sermon series today. As you've heard already, it's redefining happiness based on a collection of Jesus' saying and sermons that he preached around the region of Galilee. Today is that northern upper area of Israel. And they're called the Sermon on the Mount because Jesus preached. A lot of it was done around a hilly mountain kind of area. So what we're going to learn from these collection of sermons is what it looks like to live a life as a part of an upside-down kingdom of God. We've learned that what Jesus often teaches is opposite to how the world looks at things, the society, the way they think and do. And he's saying that to be a part of his kingdom, it takes life skills, some kind of character traits to live out his kingdom values and purpose as a follower of Christ. So in the opening of this collection of sermons called Beatitudes, we learn what it means to be blessed or happy. Each statement contains circumstances and then followed by a blessing. Last week, Pastor Stan opened our series by referring to the first section, a group of verses, and it says, bless those who are mourning. And Jesus said, when you find yourself in the circumstances where you are mourning, you will be comforted, you'll be blessed, and you're happy. And so if you missed last week and you didn't have a chance or haven't got a chance to listen to that message, I encourage you, go to our online platform, download, listen to it, be inspired, like it, and then share with someone who might just needed that blessing and happiness in their lives. And if I want to encourage you to do that. And today we're going to look at the next section, which contains three short verses that are closely connected to each other. We're going to look at the character of someone who is blessed. We are looking at these three beatitudes, which shows us what it means to have a character, traits, a lifestyle that will be blessed by God. What do they look like, act like, if they're living according to God's rule, plan, and purpose? So let us look at the first one of the three. Blessed are those who are hunger and thirst for righteousness. Why? Because they will be filled. The question, who has been hungry before? Or thirsty? Only two. Three. Doesn't make sense. Maybe it's only myself and a few. If you are hungry and thirst, it's a good thing, right? You will be blessed. But anyone hungry today, I know Stan and I come here 6, 7:30 in the morning, we already start to feel hungry. And if you do, I want to let you know that after church today, we prepare something for you to satisfy your hunger. It looks like this. It'll be over in depth. No, just imagine. Imagine there's going to be a food prepared after. You know, to stay hungry and stay blessed is the best thing that we can do. Maybe we might see something like this later on. Never know. I heard it's going to come in. Keep an eye out for it. It's definitely not going to happen this Saturday. But this is what I want to say, that hunger is a burden, at least for me. It's that kind of burden, a desire deep down inside of us. And I remember going with my family to a food festival. I think it was last year. It was held outside in the Williams Landing Shopping Center. There was a lot of trucks in there. We got there, and me and Ann decided that we're going to do something, that we're going to go to every trucks and different food from different nations, and we're going to experience. We're just going to buy a little bit in here, just nibbling taste, and then hopefully by the end of those trucks, we get to taste everything. By the end of the third truck, my stomach feels heavy, and I feel sick. And so I stayed around and sit there and watch all of them just taking their time. So what Jesus is saying here is that you are blessed when you are in that place where you hunger and thirst. You're not just nibbling here, taste this and that. No, it's when you are hunger and thirst for righteousness. The word righteousness, what does it mean? In original Greek, the word used here is takayosune. But the word comes from the Hebrew word zadeka, and it simply means the character of someone who is in the right relationship with someone else. That's what it is. And it can also refer to how we relate to an individual, but also relate to a group of people, more than one. And it's basically asking, am I in the right relationship, showing up for others and out of love? When we are in the right relationship with others, are we showing up for everyone and each other, or are we just there for ourselves and what we're going to gain from that? You know, the word Sadaka, often used alongside this word, again in Hebrew, misfat, which is justice, often used alongside this text. And the two words are used interchangeably in many instances in the Bible. So this word justice refers to put right what is wrong. And in the Old Testament, misfat described caring for or looking after those who are considered vulnerable, or Jesus called and termed the least of these in Matthew 25. People who are considered outside in a society, doesn't belong in a community, the outcast. Tim Keller, a well-known Presbyterian pastor, theologian, apologist, a strong voice for social justice. He emphasized that word misfat, justice, from a biblical perspective, which involves caring for what he terms the core debt of the vulnerable. Four, parts, harmony, widows, orphans, migrants, and the poor. And you find it throughout the scripture. And he argues that the concept is deeply rooted in the scripture, particularly in passages like Micah 6:8, where it talks about justly and loving mercy. And Keller went on to say that a society righteousness is measured by how it treats the vulnerable groups. And neglecting their needs is not so much there's lack of charity groups, but instead a violation of justice. And he further explained that justice is not just about punishing the wrongdoers, but it's about living in right relationship with others and with God. And this includes addressing both the individual needs and also the systematic issues that kind of perpetuate poverty and oppression. And then he went on to the extreme challenge and challenged the Christian and churches to move beyond their comfort zones and societal norms to advocate for a generous justice that reflects God's character and grace. So what he's saying is that what Jesus is referred to is that when we do justice to the vulnerable, when we approach these people with care and with love, with compassion and kindness, we can then experience tzedakah. We therefore experience righteousness. And as we give righteousness to the vulnerable through a right relationship, we express justice to these people. We can then experience justice, a righteousness in us that is from God. And then we are blessed and happy. So when we look at these people, and then you tend to look beyond the circumstances, what they look like, their taste, and what they talk, their voices, and what we see is that they are unique people made in the image of God. And because they are created in the image of God, they do not deserve to be where they are or treated the way they are treated. They need the compassion and love. You see, according to the scripture, what do the Lord requires of us as followers of Christ? In Micah 6:8, it says these words, to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. So Jesus is saying, when you're hungry and thirst for righteousness, the kind of righteousness, when you're desperate to see people doing right with one another, when you're caring and loving towards one another, especially when they are different, when they are marginalized, like the immigrants today, the homeless people that we see on the street, the people who are very different, and you find them in your neighbors and everywhere. The children are in the foster homes, and when we care for them, when we love them, when we create relationship with them, that's what it looks like to be a part of His kingdom. So when we act justly and show mercy and walk humbly to those, with those God blessing our lives, we are blessed and we are promised to be filled. So the concept of being filled here, maybe many of us will ask, what are we filling with? Well, it does manifest in several ways. This is what I come across. Firstly, there's an inner peace and contentment. You know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, for those who do history, come across this person, a German theologian, a pastor, actively, you know, resisted the Nazi regime, even at the cost of his life. His action, driven by his Christian faith and hunger for justice and righteousness, exemplify moral integrity in extreme challenging circumstances. And that's the kind of inner peace and contentment, though it is challenging. The second thing is about moral compass and also decision making. You know, it leads people to be able to choose integrity over personal gain. For example, a manager who addresses financial discrepancies transparency, promoting a culture of integrity in a workplace. What about treat others with fairness and compassion? A nurse who goes beyond their duties to comfort terminally ill patients, embodying with compassion in healthcare places. What about resist temptation and destructive behaviors and do what is right? Another thing is that it's kind of help us, it fills us with a kind of attitudes in relationship that has a social impact. You know, the pursuit of righteousness significantly influences us and inspire others through example. Martin Luther King, we all know his story, with an unwavering commitment to civil rights and racial equality, exemplify a deep hunger for righteousness. And we know how he stood to activate his faith in what he did. It's about promote harmony and understanding in a relationship and contribute to positive changes in communities. And so far, we had just an example of it. There's Jackie, and there's Peter, and Kenny, and there's Lisa, and I'm sure there's more. And maybe you next, to kind of experience what's it like to do that. And the last thing is about spiritual growth and connection. It builds us up. Regularly do a self-reflection and moral inventory. How are we going? Seeking wisdom through prayer and readings and scripture study, and cultivate some kind of virtues like love and integrity and honesty. Here's the thing, that we can't be in the right relationship with God and not in the right relationship with others. And vice versa, we can't be in the right relationship with others and not in the right relationship with God. And this takes us to the next beatitude. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be showing mercy. And this goes along the similar kind of line to that of righteousness. The word mercy in Greek is eleo, eleo, and I didn't put it up there. Now, when you hear the word mercy, what are you thinking of? You know, I grew up and thinking that it's all about forgiveness. Mercy is when you forgive somebody. But here is what we're going to see, that as Jesus is telling us this, that it's actually run deeper than that. The Hebrew word here for mercy is the word hesed. God, unconditional grace and compassion and love. Jesus is saying that you are blessed when you are generous, loving, kindness. Someone said that the ground of mercy and love, You know it's love. And the working of mercy is our keeping love. It's ongoing. That is the heart of what he was saying here. And when he practiced, has said, when you radically love others with kindness and compassion, you will receive the same radical has said from God himself. Think about the Canaanite woman. You know the story. She came to Jesus. He said, Lord, the Son of God, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and is suffering terribly. You need to know the story. She was an immigrant. She wasn't part of the Jewish community. She wasn't part of that community. She came in and she kind of heard about Jesus. She doesn't know Jesus. Jesus doesn't know this person here. She didn't go and ask, forgive me. She just know him, that he's important. He has power to heal. And she was desperate for her daughter. Just heal. What is she asking for? She was asking for mercy and compassion. She was desperate. And guess what? Jesus saw her. He had a dash on her, hesitate on her. He had compassion. He was generous. And he healed her. And this is the posture that Jesus is always inviting us into, to live our lives with radical loving kindness and compassion, hungry for right relationship, which lead us to a relationship with God, which we receive from him. And someone said, when mercy is shown, mercy is given. When it's shown, mercy is given. In practice, when we receive mercy from God, it increases our attempt to forgive others. And then it enhances our compassion, understanding God's mercy towards us and others despite the flaws, encourages us to view others through the lens of Christ himself and his mercy. It kind of broadens our scope of care and it balances our approach to relationship. It motivates us for positive change. It cultivates empathy in us. Someone said that mercy is not something you earn. It's given freely as a gift, and it's most beautiful when it is unexpected. And this leads us to our third and final beatitudes. Blessed are the pure in heart. Why? This is the best of all, because they will see God. You know, when I was studying this familiar verse, I came to realize that the first two, the hunger and thirst for righteousness and practice mercy, is kind of cultivated with the kind of characters that Jesus said we are blessed. And then he said that we are to be pure in heart. You know, the first two lead to this one. He's kind of quoting directly from Psalm 24, 3-4, which says, who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, a clean hand, a pure heart. And he's saying, Jesus is saying and reiterating the truth that God requires of us a pure heart. And it's about seeing God, experience his presence, and seeing his face. You know, in the Old Testament and even in Jesus' day, seeing God's very face was considered a dangerous exercise, incredibly dangerous. You know, back in the garden, God was with Adam and Eve. He was wandering around with them, and then sin entered, and this presence of God was kind of removed from his created being. And it seemed that God was kind of burying or even hiding himself, his face from us. And for the Jewish people, the Jewish Lord was a burden to them because God is holy. Therefore, we have to work ourselves up to be like that. So the way the Lord was so strict in their eyes and in their practice, he's required of certain characters to allow us to be in his presence. So for the people of Israel, God will fill the temple or the tabernacle with his glory so they could worship him at the tabernacle. Just about the little experience I had this morning. Wow, the glory of God shined. They were expected to be clean enough to experience his presence. It's almost like wipe their shoes clean before they walk into the place. So being pure in heart is about setting the stage where we could be close to him, where we can be near him. And now one day we will get to with the Lord in a closer proximity when we are in heaven. But right now, you and I know that we are living in the tension of a messy middle between. We live in the here and now. We're still sinners, and yet God is calling us to pursue a purity so that we can be blessed and see God through faith in Jesus. But the problem is this. You and I know that we are far from being holy. We are always short of the glory of God, but we are lifted and justified through the blood of Christ that we've been singing this morning. But what does this mean? Jesus is telling us that in order to see God, we got to be pure in our heart, and we can only do that only through the grace of God in Jesus. He shed the blood on the cross, make us clean and pure, and when we put our faith in him, and when we declare with our mouth that he's Lord, we can declare that we are saved. But here's the catch. You know, here is what he's saying to us in the last Beatitude, and he's saying that salvation is not enough just by saying a prayer, or reading a scripture, or come to church. Salvation is more than just get out of hell free card. When we are saved, the Holy Spirit enter you and fill your heart, cleanse you and transform you into that new creation. He does this so that you and I can live that blessed life, a new way of happiness that is different from the happiness of the world around us. So when we continue to be an image bearer of his creation and purpose, and we become his hands and feet to those who need love and compassion, when we do that, we are blessed and happy. We're revealing his character, and as a result, we receive his blessing. These are the character traits that reveals God to others as he blesses us and draws us closer to him. But here's the thing. We can declare that we believe in Jesus. That is why we come to church. We believe that we are transformed by his death and resurrection. But we wrestle with this day to day. How do we actually act justly and show mercy and walk humbly with those who are different to us? Have different belief, live a different lifestyle, come from a different culture, seeing things in a different way to you, and all of that. When the pressure of work comes down on us, we lose our composure. When the neighbor turns their back on us over the fence and boundary of the car park space, we take them to court. When the relationship with the spouse starts to dry out, or your boyfriend or girlfriend starts to turn sour, there is so much noise around us. And if we are not careful enough, we lose our temper, we lose our cool, we even lose our faith. We get angry. Instead of act justly and show mercy and walk humbly, we respond differently. We become politicized. We show hatred and judgment. Our language changes. Our attitude changes. Our behavior changes. And our lifestyle and our relationship changes. And then we discover that we're missing out on the blessed life that Jesus is promising to those of us who seek righteousness. And I can say this, I really don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your circumstances and what you face each day and the people you encounter, the work you do. But I know the struggle. Here's what I know. Jesus would never leave you and I alone in our struggles. And that is the truth. The truth is we cannot meet God in his standard like how the Jews and Israelite people trying to do all of that to catch up to God. But God can meet us in our struggles. He can meet us where we are hungry and thirst for righteousness. He can meet us when we practice mercy and also pursue purity. And as we draw to a close, I want to ask you to ask yourself this question. How can I develop a stronger hunger and thirst for righteousness in my life? Am I already hungry for righteousness? Are you already hungry for righteousness, busy engaging in building right relationships with others out of love, and you are satisfied and happy? I want to encourage you, keep doing it. Good on you. Are you currently practicing and showing mercy to those who deserve it in your workplace, at home, wherever? keep doing it? Are you continually pursuing purity in your heart and you feel that you are drawing nearer and closer to your God and closer to Jesus, enjoying His presence? Keep drawing closer to Him and enjoy His presence. But if any one of the three or two or all of them in your life you're struggling with, let me remind you again of how you can grow and be happy and feel blessed by embracing these three characters in your life. Hungering and thirsting for righteousness is about yearning for right relationship. Simple as that. It drives us to seek God's will for the good of others. Mercy goes beyond forgiveness. It's not enough. It's to encompass radical loving kindness and compassion towards others. Mercy tempers our pursuit of justice with compassion and forgiveness. And purity of heart is essential for experiencing God's presence. And it ensures that our motives are aligned with His purpose. And here's the homework. Three things. Cultivate a deeper hunger. Why don't go away today and think about how you're going to cultivate a deeper hunger for first and first for righteousness this week? Who are you going to build a relationship? Who do you see that you're going to build a right relationship that is done out of love and compassion and forgiveness? You know, we talk about a world. I use Martin Luther King and Dietrich Bonhoeffer. You can, the list goes on. Mother Teresa, Peter and Gani, a list of these. But I can tell you what, if we can't build relationship with one another here, then how are you going to build a right relationship with your neighbors, with your fellow workers, with anyone else that God placed in your heart? It starts here. We are so diverse and we are blessed, and God has blessed us with so many people that come from a different walk of life. We come from a different culture and we are unique and different in many ways. But if we can't deal with others and build right relationship, then we better stop work and start there. Because it's as simple as that. But keep an eye out. Lord, just show me one person that you want me to build a right relationship that comes from a place of compassion, love, and loving kindness. What about pray, Lord, I want to practice mercy. I want to go and find someone to show where mercy will shine through your life and impact and change their life. Whether joining a group that's serving meals to our folks that coming from the community that are considered vulnerable in our community meal on Thursday, or just wanting to find out where you can involve, maybe sign up to go and invest $3,000. Might be not much for some of you to get a taste of what it means to feel, because we need to multiply hope by multiply Jackie and Gani right here in our front backyard. We don't have to do big thing or go start small. What about go and pursue purity of heart by asking yourself, what is cluttered in my life? What is messing up my life that have no room for that purity of cleansing that I need to do in my heart? If you were following our reading, daily reading on Thursday, it speaks about, I think it's Matthew 46, where Jesus started by talking about the evil spirit that house and live in our life, and whether it's through casting the demons or deliverance, that spirit left and go to the desert because they like to hang around there. Remember, Jesus was taken to the desert to be tested. They get kind of hanging around in that dry area because where there's no rain, it shows there's no blessing. So they kind of hang around. But he say when he couldn't find a resting place, he'll go back to find the person where they're coming from. But Jesus said, when they come back, the house is clean. Maybe you and I have done some kind of cleansing, but we are not ready to put Jesus back to where it belongs. We kind of still hanging around and say it's nice and clean. They come back, and when they come back, They're bringing seven other spirits, and it's worse than before. And he was demonstrating and illustrating to the Pharisee, this is what this generation is like. And if you don't invite me to live in there, then this is what's going to happen. What it is that's still cluttering in your life that avoids you from building and growing and cleansing so that Jesus lives in you. The passion, compassion, love, and kindness. Maybe that's something I need to do more of that this week. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for reminding us about your word and the blessing and the happiness that we are to receive and to live. How your kingdom work and how we can be part of the kingdom work of God in this world. Lord, thank you for counting on each and every one of us this morning. And we admit, Lord, as we think about this message, if there are things that encourages us and reminding us and just stir us to think about, whatever it is, Lord, the circumstances, whether it's the relationship we build with people, a calling that I've been closing my door to, we want to lay it at your feet and we want to say, Lord, bless us, but help us to be hunger each day for your righteousness by doing what is right with people. Help us, Lord, to show mercy and walk humbly. Forgive those who need it to be loved and forgiven. And help us to continue to cleanse our lives so that you can rule mightily and powerfully. And as a result, we'll be happy because we are part of your kingdom work and not ours. So thank you, Lord. Take us as we are. Speak deeply. Work in us so that we can go knowing from here. And when we go hungry, when we do that, we are blessed and happy. Thank you. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.